As many of you know, in our second service each Sunday, we are discussing Christian ethics. What is right and what is wrong according to God's Word. And last Sunday, we began a discussion of the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we'll continue that discussion in the second service today, Lord willing. But we're going to expand that discussion today beyond the third commandment to include other ways that our speech can be wrong and can be displeasing to God. And as I prepared for this week's discussion, I did quite a bit of thinking about gossip. And as I dive down into this subject, I realized I'm 63 years old. I've never heard a sermon on gossip. I realized that in over 30 years of pastoral ministry, I have never preached an entire sermon on gossip. I've certainly mentioned gossip in my preaching from time to time, but before this week, I had never researched what the Bible has to say. And I discovered this week that gossip is actually a difficult topic to address from the Bible, because there is no word in the Bible that actually is a good equivalent for our English word gossip. Let me repeat what I just said. Gossip is not mentioned in the Bible, at least in the sense that a word truly equivalent to our English word gossip is used there. If you search the old King James Version, you will not find the word gossip, not once. If you search our new King James Version, you'll find it used just once. And it's used there to translate a very difficult word in the original language, a word that's used only once in the Bible. We're not really sure exactly what that word means. So perhaps the Bible really doesn't have much to say about gossip, and we ought to give it up as a bad job before we even start. I don't think so. That'd be a bad idea. Because most of us know that there's a real problem with gossip in the world, and there's a real problem with gossip in our own lives. I got to tell you, preachers get nervous when they preach about things like gossip. Because everybody's thinking, who's got the problem with gossip that the preacher's preaching about? I'll tell you who has the problem with gossip that the preacher's preaching about. It's the preacher. I'm the one that's been convicted this week. As I read the passages, as I meditated on what the Word of God means by gossip, I've been convicted. I have found myself repeatedly this week asking myself, are those words gossip? When I say things like that, is that gossip? And so I think we need to get down below the surface of the Scriptures, and we need to excavate what the Bible has to say about this problem, a problem that I believe every Christian has. Even if that takes a bit more work than normal to find the passages that apply and what they mean to us. And that's where one of your handouts comes today. I'm not going to ask you to open the Bible today. I've given you all the Bible on that handout. And I've done that for a very good reason. I don't want you to spend a lot of time today flipping back and forth to different passages as we come to them. So I've just given them to you there in biblical order. And I'll be directing your attention to various verses. And I specifically printed them on two different sheets of paper so you could have the scripture in front of you and you could still be taking notes. Now I want you to notice that all of these verses are quoted from the English Standard Version rather than our New King James Version. And that's because the New King James Version uses some antiquated words in these passages. Words like talebearer. How many of you have talked about talebearers in the last, 6 months, a year, 50 years? We don't use that word. Backbiting. The New King James retains some of these words from the Old King James. And I just felt like the English Standard Version, the ESV, seems to consistently render these texts in a more understandable way. And so you have them there in front of you. I'm going to read these texts, okay? Because the texts of Scripture, what the Bible actually says about this is what's most important. Okay, I'm going to try to put it together for us afterwards, but what's really important is that you and I hear what the Bible has to say on this topic. Okay? So let me encourage you. Don't turn off your hearing aids while I'm reading the scripture this morning. This is a little bit different than me reading, part of a chapter out of the Gospel of Luke. But what the Bible has to say here is really important. So listen to God's word. Psalm 105:5. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. Proverbs 6. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And finally, one who sows discord among brothers. Proverbs 11:13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Proverbs 18, verse 8, and you'll notice that Proverbs 26 and verse 22, they are exactly the same words. That's an interesting observation. The exact verse appears twice in the book of Proverbs. I know of no other verse like that. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Then to the New Testament, Matthew 12 and verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Luke 6:31, and as you wish others to do to you, do so to them. And I would give you the Girard paraphrase, however you would have people speak of you, speak of them. Romans 1:29 through 32, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. 2 Corinthians 12:20 is fear, for I fear that perhaps when I come I may find that you are not as I wish. and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, Ephesians 4:29 says, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. 1 Timothy 5:13, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. And then finally, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, using these passages, our first task then is to construct a biblical definition to gossip. This morning, I suggest that we look at our English word gossip like a piece of Tupperware, and we're going to pour the biblical content into it like Jell-O. We need to let our definition of gossip take the shape of Scripture. I don't really care how Webster defines gossip. I care how God defines gossip in His Word. And so that's the definition we're going to pursue. Now, as we look at that passage, those passages that I just read a few moments ago, I think the basic thrust of gossip comes through. Gossip is the sharing of negative information about another person. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Gossip is the sharing of negative information about another person. Now, a number of the texts that I read a moment ago from Proverbs warn against slander. In the New Testament, the word that's translated gossip is always a close neighbor to the word slander. Now, slander is purposely sharing negative information about somebody else that we know is not true or suspect is not true in order to purposely harm that person. It is the worst kind of gossip. It is character assassination. The Sixth Commandment states, "You shall not murder." And that includes murdering someone's reputation with our words. Whether it's to their face or behind their back or on Facebook. Now, a lot of gossip does not rise to the level of slander, and it's more that kind of low-level, non-slanderous gossip that's going to be our focus this morning. So perhaps the most straightforward definition of gossip is found in that last verse on the list, James 4 and verse 11, a verse that doesn't even use the word gossip. It gives Christians a clear command, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Now, the word evil is not actually in the original language. It's implied. The verb here simply means to speak against. And in fact, in the last part of that verse, or the middle part of that verse there in the ESV, it's translated, speak against. We gossip when we speak against another person. Doesn't make any difference whether what we say is true or not. If we're speaking against another, it's wrong. Notice what the last part of the verse says. When we speak against others, we judge them. And that word judge can sometimes be translated criticize. James tells us that's not our job, to judge others, to criticize them. That's God's job. That's the job of God's law. And then another verse that reinforces, I realize this is a broad definition, but another verse that reinforces this broad definition of gossip is a second command to Christians in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Another broad commandment here. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, period. Now, what's corrupting talk? I think a lot of people have a wrong idea here about what corrupting talk is. I've read even commentaries that equate it with dirty talk. You know, we talked a little bit about that in the second, you know, dirty words. I don't think that's what this is talking about. I mean, you ever heard of somebody called a garbage mouth or a potty mouth? Okay, so some people equate that phrase, corrupt talk, with that idea. But I want you to think about, when something corrupts, when something rots, what actually happens to it? It breaks down. Okay, that's what happens. And that's the idea here. The idea is using words that tear other people down. Now, I'm pretty sure that that's the right idea, because in this verse, talk that tears other people down is the opposite of what? Talk that builds people up. I mean, so it makes sense, right? We either talk to build other people up, or we talk to tear other people down. And so when we talk in a way that tears other people down, and that talk is behind their back, and we'll see this in just a minute, and that talk is behind their back, then that is gossip. And whether it's to their face or behind their back, if our speech does not build them up, then it is gossip. So, this verse, I believe, gives us a test to determine whether our talk, whether our words are gossip, whether it's sinful. Is our motive to build up or to tear down? Now, I realize that there are times when you and I must share negative information with somebody about another human being. You go to the pastor, you go to an elder, you go to a mentor, you have a problem with somebody, and you're trying to solve that problem, you're trying to seek reconciliation, you want to know what you can do to be reconciled to that person, to build up the relationship again. So there are times when sharing negative information is the right thing to do, because ultimately you want to build up. But I got to tell you, I think that those times are far fewer than we actually believe. So often, the reason that we share negative information about other people is because we have some kind of a need that we're trying to meet. It's a selfish thing. We need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes we just need to be heard, we feel like. Sometimes we feel like we need some validation. Very difficult for just about any human being to accurately evaluate his own motives, isn't it? And so if you're going to say something negative about somebody, you and I need to be very, very careful. Am I really doing this so that I can build that person up, or so that I can build the relationship up? Is that really what I'm doing now? If I were standing before Jesus Christ right now, what would He say? we tear other people down so easily, so easily. Co-workers, other church members, our family members. We need to let this biblical definition of gossip grip our hearts and stop our mouths. And then let me share one final verse before we move on here that provides another, even more objective test to determine whether our words are gossip. Luke 16:31 says, "And as you wish others would do to you, do so to them." So when you're about to say something about another person, simply ask yourself, if somebody said this very same thing about me, would I be displeased or pleased? I mean, how many times a day do we say things about other people, and it's not just what we say, it's how we say it, and if they overheard us, it would devastate them. And if they were to say the very same thing about us, it would devastate us. We gossip so easily because we do not hear our own words through the ears of that other person. Now, we've been dealing with some of the verses on gossip here. And some of you have noticed that in two cases, in Romans 1 and verse 29, and again in 2 Corinthians 12:20, the ESV actually uses the translation gossip. And the word in the original language in these two verses points to the second aspect of gossip. Now, stick with me here, because I've been practicing all week, and I'm not sure I'm going to get this right. So let me try to pronounce the two words that are used in these two verses. Okay, the two words in the original language. Psithorismos. Psithoristes. The root word here is difficult to pronounce because it's a word that sounds like what it means. Psithorismos. It sounds like whispering. Even the word whisper sounds like whispering. Whisper, 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 whisper. And so both of these verses in the New Testament speak of gossip in terms of whispering. And they align with the many verses in the book of Proverbs that also speak of gossip in terms of whispering. And these references in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to whispering bring us to the second element of gossip. Gossip includes an element of secrecy. Gossip includes an element of secrecy. I really shouldn't tell you, but if you promise to keep it secret, I'll tell you what happened to Janet over the weekend. Now, of course, when she was told, somebody elicited the very same promise from her. This secrecy angle is the V8 500 cubic inch turbocharged engine that powers gossip. I mean, there's just something in the human heart that loves to know what nobody else knows. And loves to tell what nobody else knows. Oscar Wilde said, "I can resist anything but temptation." And many of us could change that to say, "I can resist anything except a secret." those two verses that I talked about that say exactly the same thing. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 and Proverbs 26, 22. They speak of the gravitational pull of gossip. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Those verses communicate how delicious. Isn't that a wonderful word? How delicious gossip is. Like Lay's potato chips, bet you can't eat just one. I mean, the only thing more tasty than a juicy piece of gossip is my pork barbecue with Baby Ray's barbecue sauce on it. These two verses also communicate a second aspect of this secrecy angle. You know, once we hear a secret, we are never able to unhear it. The verse says it goes down into the innermost parts. I mean, what happens when you eat that juicy morsel? You chew it and you swallow it, it goes down into your body assimilates it, and then it's on your hips forever, right? Gossip does the same thing. We swallow that juicy morsel and it becomes a part of us. And forevermore, it will color what we think of that person who was the subject of that gossip. We may want to forget it. We may wish we had never heard it. But I got to tell you, it's easier to get rid of a tattoo than it is to get rid of that gossip from our minds and our hearts. And there's another aspect of secrecy entailed in gossip, and that is that there's an element of pride in hearing and knowing and sharing secrets. John Piper has an excellent brief article on gossip online. Let me share just a brief quote. These are John Piper's words. And I would add a third thing from my own experience. There is a kind of pride. I think I just know this from myself. I think John Piper's pride is what makes him savor that I know something somebody else doesn't know. I know it, and I can tell you, and I feel in the know, which kind of elevates me a little bit. So I think it's pride at the root of that. Unquote. And if you check out the company that gossip keeps in those two passages, those two long passages I read, Romans 1:29 and 2 Corinthians 12:20, it confirms Piper's view. Gossip doesn't appeal to our taste buds. That's not what makes it delicious. It appeals to our pride buds. Knowing something that somebody else doesn't know, sharing something that somebody else doesn't know. And then one final word about the secrecy of gossip. There's another reason we whisper gossip so that nobody else can hear. And that's because if others knew what we were saying, knew that we were gossiping, there would be a price to pay, and we don't want to pay it. Like Dr. Piper said, we want to feel in the know. We want others to know that we are in the know, but we don't want to pay any kind of interpersonal price for sharing gossip. We don't want people to know when we are throwing them under the bus. We don't want friends to know when we are breaking confidence, and so we whisper. Behind closed doors, behind others' backs, on a two-way phone call. Now, I believe, based on everything that Scripture says, that we have nailed down here the two key elements of gossip. It's negative talk about another person, whether true or not, talk that tears down rather than builds up, and it is this negative talk that's behind the subject's back. Negative words that are whispered in secret. That's the crux of gossip. Now, these verses that are on our list also teach us the effects of gossip. And first of all, there are three proverbs that make clear that gossip causes interpersonal conflict. Gossip causes interpersonal conflict. Notice Proverbs 16 in verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Now, when we defined gossip earlier based on Ephesians 4:29, we defined it as something that tears another person down. But gossip also tears relationships down. And I think most of us understand how this works, you know. I learned something negative about somebody. Perhaps somebody that I call a friend, and maybe because of my pride, or maybe because this negative thing hurts me, I just can't keep it to myself. And so I gossip. I tell another person about it, and what happens? Then that other person knows this thing, and now they begin to act differently toward this person that I learned this about. And I have separated between friends. And then what happens? When that happens, this person begins to think, who's been talking about me? And if they figure out it's me, then there's a separation between them and me. And of course, if the gossip keeps going, the separation keeps going. Gossip is like pouring sand into the gears of relationships. You keep pouring that sand and the relationships grind to a halt. Or I love the metaphor that we find here in Proverbs 26:20. You know, we've all sat in front of a fire. And somebody keeps, you know, pitching a piece of wood on the fire to keep it going. And then finally, you know, the evening's over and you're getting ready to go to bed. Nobody puts any more wood on the fire and the fire begins to die down. It dies down into embers, and when you get up the next morning, the fire's gone. The wise man says the same thing happens when we quit gossiping. Gossip is the fuel that keeps interpersonal conflict blazing. Quit putting the fuel on the fire, quit gossiping, and the conflict will die down. I mean, do you realize how simple a solution that is? Quit gossiping, and the strife and the conflict will die down. Now, that's not all there is to it. We're going to see that in a few moments. But that's a great first step. I've got a new Nike-esque motto. Just don't do it. But gossip affects us not only on a horizontal level. There are vertical effects to gossip. Gossip displeases God. Did you notice that first text that I read from the book of Psalms? Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoa. You want God as your enemy? Slander is a perfect way to make God your enemy, that verse says. Notice Proverbs 6 and verse 16. These 16 the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination. And look at the last one on the list at the end of verse 9. And one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates gossip, hates what it does to His people. Spreading gossip is like rolling a grenade down the center aisle of the church. Spreading gossip is like throwing a bomb at your workplace. I knew a guy in his 80s. He was one of a set of twins. He told me that he was a boy. His brother wanted to see the fire trucks, and his parents wouldn't let them go see the fire trucks. So he took some paper, and he stuck it in a wall socket and set the house on fire so he could see the fire trucks. That's kind of like what gossip does to your own house when you're gossiping about your own family. God hates gossip. It's not just sin, he says. It's an abomination. Check out the things that God calls an abomination in the Old Testament. Gossip is not a little white sin. And that's reinforced by the list of sins that we see there in Romans 1:29. They are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Wow, what a list! And gossip is right in the middle of it. And the list in 2 Corinthians 12 is similar. As I said, gossip is not a little white sin. God categorizes it with the worst sins of mankind, and none of us can afford to excuse it. Think about what Jesus teaches in Matthew 12 and verse 36, another of the texts there on your list. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Now, what's a careless word? In the original language, that word careless literally means non-working. It's a non-working word. It's a word that does no positive good. It's a word that's useless. Sometimes our words neither tear down nor lift up. And Christ says we'll give account even for such useless words. So I can guarantee you we'll be giving account for those negative words that tear down. What do you think the judgment seat of Christ is going to look like? You know, I think it's good that in eternity there is no time, because I think the judgment seat of Christ is going to take like a bazillion years. Because we're going to give account for every negative thing that we've ever said. Can you imagine? Now, those sins aren't going to take us to hell, okay? Jesus Christ died for our sins to bear the punishment of our sins. So those sins are not going to take us to an eternal hell. But we're going to have to sit, and I don't know, maybe we won't sit. Maybe Jesus will be sitting and we'll be standing. I don't know exactly how this is going to work out. But we're going to have to look into the eyes of the Jesus who died for our sins and who died for the sins of the person we gossiped about and explain why we did that. I'm reminded of the verse that says every mouth will be stopped. Because I don't think I'll have much to say, will you? Co-workers, friends, fellow believers, even children and spouses that we have spoken against to others. So, what should we do about gossip? Well, finally, let's talk about the biblical response to gossip. The first response is obvious. We must repent of gossip. And genuine repentance of this sin is a multi-step process. First of all, we need to acknowledge that it is a serious sin and confess it as such. Now, you need to remember, the word confess means literally to say the same thing about sin as God does. And I hope you've gotten a really good dose this morning of what God thinks about gossip. And so if we're going to truly confess that sin, then we need to treat it as seriously as God does as we turn away from it. God lists it with things like lying and murder and covetousness and hating God. So we need to keep the effects of sin before our hearts. What it does horizontally, what it does vertically, how it can harm others, how it grieves God. And then we need to use that to power real confession and forsaking of gossip. Then number two, we may need to ask forgiveness of others and to seek their reconciliation. Number three, we need to seek God's grace and help for changing this verbal habit. And gossip is a habit. And it's a habit that's difficult to change. Listen to this verse from the book of James, chapter 3. He says that every beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Wow. Lord, help me. I've got this untamable thing in my mouth. We need to intentionally depend on God to enable us to change. And then if we're going to change a habit, we're going to have to keep at it. You don't change a habit in a week. You don't change a habit in a month. And then finally, we do not break habits. I don't like that phrase. We do not break habits. We replace habits. And so we need to replace tearing other people down verbally with building them up verbally. Don't focus on not tearing them down. Focus on building them up, because as you're building them up, you won't be tearing them down. And then our response to gossip must take a second form. We must refuse to listen to gossip. On your verse list, notice Proverbs 17 in verse 4. An evil doer listens to wicked lips. Gossip always harms four persons: the gossiper, the gossipee, the gossiped about, and God. And we need to talk about the gossipy for a minute. The person who is listening to the gossip. According to Proverbs 17:4, the gossipy, the person who listens to gossip, is an evil doer. Let that sink in. This verse teaches that we must intentionally, purposely refuse to listen to gossip. Now, if you've been a party to a lot of gossip in the past, taking this step can be difficult. But you know what? It takes two to tango, and if no one listens to gossip, then the gossip will cease. Now, if we're not going to listen to gossip, we're going to have to come up with some approaches, some responses. We need to script some language that we can use when people come to us with gossip, and something that doesn't actually turn up the heat or make people think that we're trying to be holier than thou. I mean, it's easy to use a comeback like the one I read online this week. If you didn't hear it with your own ears or see it with your own eyes, don't invent it with your small mind and share it with your big mouth. I kind of like that, but if you use that, you need to be careful that there's not a 2x4 coming at your head. I recommend a less confrontational way to handle gossip. I mean, first you can just try to redirect the conversation by saying something positive about that person. If that doesn't work, you can just try to completely change the subject. Now, many of us are hard-headed, and so we may not take the hint. If we don't take the hint, we may need to come up with something that's a little more direct, a little more surefire. And you see there, I've printed a response that I've come up with. It doesn't seem like I'm part of the solution to this problem, so I don't think I should be part of this conversation. That is a very biblical response. It doesn't seem like I'm part of the solution to this situation, and so I don't think I ought to be part of this conversation. And here's the upside to refusing to listen to gossip. Once people around you hear this kind of response from you a couple times, they're going to start leaving you out of the gossip circle. It's going to get easier. I love what I found on one website called The Manners Mentor. Let me quote. "The courage to confront a gossip fest is at first hard and scary. However, once you flex your zero tolerance muscles a few times, others will learn you're a gossip-free zone." Unquote. How well said. We need to flex our our zero tolerance muscles a few times so that people learn that we are a gossip-free zone. Now, there are times when we may need to take an additional step. The situation really demands more than just not listening to gossip. Here's what I mean. A person, a friend comes to you to complain about how another friend mistreated them. It happens all the time. It happens all the time in the church. But what's the biblical response in that situation? That person's looking for comfort. That person's looking for a listening ear. But what's the biblical response when somebody comes to me and says, "I'm having a problem with so-and-so"? The biblical response is to say that you need to go talk to so-and-so. You don't need to be talking to me. You need to talk to this person. And then in other circumstances, I think we also need to redirect a gossip to God. As I mentioned, you know, sometimes gossip occurs when friends are burdened. And they really are hurting, and they dump their troubles out on us because they need a listening ear. They need a shoulder to cry on. They need someone to validate their emotions. And all of that sounds exactly like what a good friend should do. But often part of what gets dumped out are negative comments about others. And while we are called on to encourage one another and to come alongside of one another in times of trouble, we are also called to refuse to hear gossip. So we have this really difficult balance here biblically. You know, I understand you're hurting, and I'm here for you. But you're telling me things that I don't need to know. Things that I can't unhear. I can't change this person. I can't change this situation. But I know someone who can. And you need to take this to God. How many of you handle dynamite? You do? Okay. I mean, any of you got it back in your shed back home? Let me disabuse you. We all handle verbal dynamite all the time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's right here. What are you going to do with that power that hides behind your teeth? I've outlined the responses that you and I ought to take to gossip in our lives. And as I said at the beginning of this message, I think probably all of us need to consider taking at least one of these steps, making one of these responses. Here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is this afternoon, after you get home, when it gets quiet, I challenge you to think back over the last week or two and just think about the times that you talked about somebody and see where it fits biblically in the grid. And then, in all humility before God, respond as God would have you respond. I really do wonder how much of the interpersonal problems that we all have would begin to die out like a fire dying out if we just learned not to gossip.